Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes!
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
We got some things to discuss today.
There's some things that happened.
Podcast.
Things that are happening here in the Bay Area.
Oh, Maysoon, somebody tried to put their arm through a Warhol painting. And when I heard about that, I was wondering if it was the same one that you saw a guy almost fall into.
Nope, that's a different one. Got same places room. Problem.
Overrun with Warhols. Anyhow, just wanted to ask, and now that has been discussed. Mm-hmm. Moving right along, you got any hot shit coming up that we should know about?
A friend of the show, Jennifer Wofford, has an opening or an unveiling of a mural of
hers.
Oh,
the murals.
Yeah,
I'm going to cry about those
murals. I'm super
murals.
Excited. They're beautiful. I've only seen one
picture.
Yeah, but
they're very sad.
They're tragic, but they're also beautiful.
You better look at them.
Look at them, people. It's a storm drain murals. Sorry, it opens on Wednesday at 11 a.m., so you'll probably miss it, but they'll be up.
They're murals, so.
They're murals. They'll be up for a while, but they're actually on the storm drain covers.
Oh, cool.
I believe. That's my understanding. I could be wrong.
They look so big. I don't
know. We'll look into it. Maybe we'll link to her website for you. But it's interesting because it's through the SFPUC, which is the Public Utilities Commission, and the SFAC, the Arts Commission. So it's kind of an interesting partnership, I thought.
Does the SFAC have a thing coming up soon? I think they have a call out now for their kiosk, bus stop. We'll have a link all that down yonder.
Down yonder.
Okay, what else?
Also tonight at 8 p.m.
Tonight on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
which is tonight. Sure enough.
At 8 p.m., there's a benefit for Radar
Luggage
store.
Yeah,
and the proceeds go to offering free and low-cost literary events that authentically reflect the queer community's experience.
They got all kinds of events happening.
Yeah.
They're all super cool.
I think we should interview folks from there. Oh, yeah. I thought this would be kind of fun for some people, maybe, and is a little bit out of...
For some people.
I was going to say you, but I was like, maybe that's like an inappropriate assumption.
Oh, let's hear what it is.
So, have you ever been curious about publishing children's books?
Yes, I have, kind of. I mean, sure.
Okay.
Go on.
Kate, this might be fun for you.
Okay.
Chronicle Books is hosting an event called Behind the Scenes Publishing Children's Books, just like talking about how you do that, what it means to do that. It sounded interesting to me, actually, because I feel like it could be a really fun outlet for an artist, like to make money, but not to just completely get a corporate job.
I've known some artists that made children's books.
Yeah.
Totally.
Anyhow.
I mean, fuck.
That's also on.
Plus my girlfriend.
That's also tonight.
Works for a literacy non. Oh, well, then I have a chance to go.
And there's one other thing I saw that I was also interested in and want to go to. There's new Filipino cinema.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at YBCA.
Yeah.
June 9th through 12th.
Interesting. Fascinating and interesting.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
Because of the kind of conflicted relationship between YBCA and the Filipino community in San Francisco.
With all the development that's happening there?
YBCA, the development that made that there.
Yeah.
Place that. I'm having some issues tonight.
Okay.
Anyhow, interesting. All interesting events, Maysoon.
Yeah, I thought so.
I went to some shows.
Did you go to galleries that we always go to?
Sure did. I feel like we don't talk about Interface that much, although we did record an interview there.
Didn't you work? You worked in a day there, right?
Gallery sat for Interface, and I feel like that is the best way to see a show. If it's a show that you would have possibly, not that I would have for this show, but if there's shows where you would have just glossed right over it and just rolled on through.
Maybe we should have a word of the week.
You can't do that when you're gallery sitting because you got to sit right there in the gallery.
Yeah, I like that.
Word of the week, gloss. Point is, the show is Elizabeth Sims. And she has some lovely graphite drawings of water running over stones.
Oh, it sounds beautiful.
And one was also watercolor. But then there's this audio playing that is testimonials from activists and people involved in the Occupy movement. And
oh, cool.
Elizabeth, the artist, was also really deeply involved in that. So there's also a takeaway, a little zine kind of book that has printed... transcriptions of all the testimonials, and then some photographs and a little bowl of rocks, including some pyrite was in there.
And cool.
But I guess the kind of thing of it was about her leaving that, like kind of going away from that movement and the kind of tradition of a lot of activists kind of going or to like disappearing into the wilderness. Oh. And then also like the slow change and erosion.
Like
from
feeling
water.
Like the wilderness is the only place for them in this world.
Apparently a lot of people have done that. Like it's a thing that people do.
They're like, I'm getting the fuck out of here then.
I mean, I was thinking like Lucy Lepard is out there somewhere, right? Kind of out in the
New
Mexico desert.
Yeah. How many hours did you spend with that, Kate?
Five
hours. How many visitors did you get to talk to?
A pretty good amount. Probably like more than a dozen people came through. And one lady really engaged with the work hardcore. And we had a long conversation about it.
Love her. I do. I love people like that.
Yeah.
I think it's so fun.
She was very moved.
Aww.
By the technical quality, because the work is very beautifully rendered.
Yeah.
But also about the kind of conceptual underpinnings. Mm-hmm. But it was also interesting to be, because you would never look at the drawings on their own and think, this is protest art.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
So the sound helped.
Yeah.
Helped you
and
with
I know
that.
A lot, I know many artists that are kind of trying to figure out the balance
like
between
activist art.
Something being too didactic and something being so vague that it doesn't convey anything.
Any message, right.
They're not like fucking, you know, throwing a Molotov cocktail with the work.
Got it.
In the same way that like agitprop does.
Right.
So that was just interesting to think about, like the activists disappearing into the wilderness and then like the activist artists kind of disappearing into kind of like landscape drawings or, you know, like, does the message disappear? Is it more subtle? Does it get in secretly in a way the viewer doesn't quite detect, but something's happening inside them?
Wow.
You know, so it was, it was a really interesting show. And the artist Elizabeth Sims found out that I gallery sat that day and thanked me, which is, to me, the greatest statement of them all.
Go see the show.
Go see that show.
Do you know how long it's open, Kate? Or
it
up and
just
running?
Opened, so I'm thinking the rest of the month.
Okay. So through June.
Sure enough.
Perfect.
I also went to see Laura Owen's show at the Wattis.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. I loved it. She fucking like painted silkscreen, whatever, the whole gallery, all the walls up to parts you can't even hardly see.
Cool.
There's like a secret cat up on a ledge that you would never notice. And like, there's a phone numbers you can call and like speakers talk to you. And then there's like needlepoint that her grandma made or her mom or somebody in her family made. And then there's like echoes of that needlepoint elsewhere in the like the painting silkscreen print things.
Wow.
And like other little funny things around. And it's just like everything in the kitchen sink. If you're getting sick of these kind of minimal, if you're not trying to see some fucking like white on white shit, this shit is maximal as fuck. It's all there.
Cool.
It's all there and more. Plus, you know my favorite, Maysoon.
Yep, sure do. Miss
Boats
Frazier.
Boats on the Ocean.
Oh.
Andrew Frazier. There, JK. No, pictures of boats on the ocean. The only art
I
like.
Architecture.
I also like paintings of houses.
Paintings or
drawings of houses, yeah. But as a rule, the three types of art that I like, as a reminder for you and for listeners, is paintings of houses, pictures that can be any kind, paintings, photographs of the ocean with or without boats, and monologues by very opinionated, aggressive women.
Wow.
Naked or not.
That's a pretty good mix, I would say.
Thank you.
For you.
So anyhow, that show, The Wattis, I highly recommend. Loved it.
Cool.
Loved it. And the gallery.
I've heard a lot of
fantastic.
Good things about it so far. I mean,
so
I've heard
much.
Many people
bright
have gone
colors and patterns, and there's you could look at it for a long time, and there's all kinds of shit to see.
Is it both rooms, like the whole space?
Yep.
Yeah. Any sculptural pieces, or mostly on the wall?
No, nope.
All on the wall.
Yeah, pretty
cool.
Pretty empty. Yeah. Good job. Good curatorial statement. Way to go, Wattis. Way to go. Then I went over there to Stephanie Sahuko. Has a new show over there
at Catherine Clark.
And I tried to stay for the artist talk, but only caught about like the first 10 sentences.
And then you're like, peace out.
I had to go because I was trying to be in that Settlers of Catan tournament over there at Southern Exposure.
Whoa.
Anyhow, Stephanie Sahuko, go see that show. I didn't get enough time, I think, to really appreciate it, but there were some photographs of orchids that had been painted like mid-tone gray. They were very beautiful. So that one I needed to spend more time with. Then I went on over there to Southern Exposure, and Genevieve Quick has a show called Postscripts to Revolution.
That's right.
And that was another one I need to spend more time with. But what I saw, I loved, including a video of two people in blue screen suits in front of a blue screen with bread all over their body.
Bread.
And they're doing like dances and, you know, movements and stuff. And
it's like bread dancing.
Yeah. But they're not keyed out. Like, they're, you know,
they're still there.
You can see it all. Yeah. You can see their bodies in weird blue
suits. What's that about?
I don't know. I was kind of wishing that they would have keyed it out, because I would have loved to see the bread.
Just the bread animating, dancing on its own.
But it was still great. Still great.
Interesting.
They made their choice, and I respect it. But anyhow.
They stuck with it.
Got to take some more time in there. Maybe I'll have more to say about it at a later time. But
yeah.
I walked in there, and I had sunglasses on because I had been outside in the blazing hot, bright sun. And I just walked right into a bench and ran my knee straight into a bench.
Oh, sorry. That's not funny.
And scared the shit out of the people that were in there just to see the show. So I apologize to those people. I want to apologize to Southern Exposure and Genevieve Quick and the bread people.
And the bench.
And I want to thank them. Okay, anyhow.
Weird. There's a gaming event coming up at Southern Exposure.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know anything about that? With
Robbie
Herbst?
New games. And they're like new games. They're supposed to like enhance like maximum participation. And like how it was told to me was that it was all like really hippie stuff, supposed to expand your consciousness, I think. And all that kind of thing. But then it kind of got incorporated to all the like corporate and productivity hoopla.
It's funny because I can't remember who it was that was like, oh, are you going to go to the SOEX Games event? I'm like, I don't know. What's that? And they told me like, oh, that's with Robbie Herbst, who's an artist that I know have worked with years ago, who's from LA. And I was kind of like, wow, interesting. I'm not really that interested in games, but now that you bring it up, I'm like, maybe I should go and check
They're
it out.
They're like fun activity games. It's not like board games like we were doing.
Oh, no. I was thinking like...
Like movement and
I was thinking like gaming games.
Oh, like video games?
Like video games. Oh. Games.
No, and not so that like, at all. Oh. No, this is right up. If I was going to pick a game that would be up your alley, this would be the one. You know what I'm saying?
Not really.
Because there's like movement and you're a dancer and...
Yeah, but that stuff can get pretty hippy-dippy.
Well, what game
I'm
would
gonna
you...
I'm going to go check it out.
Wait, what game that? Would be your ideal game then?
I really love charades.
What about basketball?
That's not a
Ooh,
game.
Ooh, charades. See, charades is exactly what they'll probably be doing, some shit like that.
That sounds totally
like
different.
Like motion machine and like...
It's also weird to do that in like a big public space, I think. Like it's fine to do it in your home with like friends and whatever, or... I mean... I don't take drugs anymore. Listeners, anyone? You
sure
got me?
Sure enough. All right.
I'm still going to go. So, X, you know I love you. I'm going to go check it out.
Okay. You really made a commitment there.
Yeah.
I played Settlers of Catan over there because they had like a preliminary game day with board games. But I wasn't there.
Oh, I like board games.
Fast enough to get in the tournament, so I didn't win.
Is that like an actual board game, Settlers of Catan? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, that's fun.
Is it from like the 90s?
It's like you're a colonist.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. No.
Is it
it's
older?
Recent. No,
recent.
It's pretty
okay,
recent.
Okay, that's why I don't
think
know
so,
about
yeah.
it.
By Mayfair Games, who also makes Euro Rails. If anybody wants to buy my augmented second edition Rhodes Rails rules, I'll have a link in the underworld. $2.
What does that mean? What does all of that mean? Rhodes Rails rules?
Uh-huh. Me and my family, my brother and my girlfriend, Katie Kondo, invented some augmented rules for games that already exist. All the rail games, mm-hmm. like Euro Rails. The American one is called Empire Builder.
I don't know about any of this stuff.
India Rails.
Rails is in like trains.
Yeah. So
okay,
basically the original game is you're building train tracks across a continent or a country, and you have to take goods or tourists or workers from one place to another to fulfill contracts and get paid.
Yeah.
So you like pick up tourists in Paris and take them to, you know, Bern or whatever.
So weird.
For like $20 million, you know, and then you build bigger train tracks. And
so the purpose is to make a lot of money.
Well, yeah.
What's the purpose of the game?
You win by making $250 million and being built into five major cities first.
God, this sounds like a fucking nightmare on wheels.
It's so good.
Me.
And then our augmented rules have added so much performance aspects, storytelling. There's a monster
like
that you can befriend the pirates. There's all kinds of socialism. We've really added a lot in the second
edition.
Cool.
Why are you getting rid of it?
No, I'm not. I'm selling it. I'm selling PDFs of our augmented rules.
Oh, yeah. God. Can we have like $2. A public game day with that game? That sounds fun.
It's a pretty complicated, but if people want to make a commitment, I don't know if we've ever finished a game of it. It really goes
on
forever.
I've seen pictures of like you and your family over Christmas playing the game, and you're all wearing like Christmas hat or like Santa Claus hats.
Yeah, exactly.
But you look like you've been at it for hours, kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah. It goes on for days. Days. It's kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, but without characters or anything. But you do have to roll a 30. Now in the second edition, you have a 30-sided die.
Love the die.
There's so many matrices. Our rules are like 6 or 7 pages long.
I want to play sometime.
Okay.
I'm curious.
Yeah. Goes on forever.
The problem is I'm a little bit competitive with games, but I'll try not to
be. It's hard
to
be competitive with this game because there's so many curveballs. You know
okay,
what I mean?
That's probably
you never
for
know
the better.
What's going to happen. You could lose it all.
Yeah.
Literally, one of the things that can happen is the game can just end.
Yeah.
Randomly.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I like that. And we're done. Beep.
Yeah, it's basically, there's a lot of ways you can save it from that. But anyhow, point is, $2, Link in the Underworld. Really trying to get that out there.
I want one. Can't wait. I'm going to be planning a South Bay art
getaway
extravaganza.
Oh, yeah.
Soon.
Great.
Yeah.
Do we need to try to solicit a ride from a listener?
Maybe.
Listeners, if you want to give us a ride down to the South Bay, go ahead and email us. congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. You can text us 419-351-6606, or you can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast.
Please leave an emoji in your tweet.
Always. Emoji in every form.
I really like them right now.
Thank you. I invented them.
I was with a friend this weekend for her going away party.
Where's she going?
She's moving to L.A.
God damn it.
And
another
we were
lost to the south of California.
We were reminiscing about how about 8 years ago, her mother, who's like probably in her 60s, mid to late 60s, was the queen of emojis. Like she would show me her phone and there'd be like 15 emojis in a row.
Oh, hang on. The prison industrial complex is calling. Oh, JK, that's an ambulance.
It's an ambulance.
Oh, sorry, Ambie. Okay, go on.
Anyhow, we were just like reminiscing about how her mom was like the queen of emojis. This is like before emojis were anywhere near most of us, probably. She'd send her like a million martini glasses and like skeleton. Like,
that's pretty cool.
Crossbones like in the middle of the day while we were at work. It was like the most hysterical
thing
ever.
Emojis.
It was so cute.
That's a good way.
I think she'd send like the poop pile, like all sorts of ridiculousness.
Ooh, I don't like the poop pile. I find that
I know, but when it's coming from your mom, it's like weird and hysterical. It's sort of perfect.
Okay, I got one more couple of events coming at you here, May, soon that I just remembered.
Great. Your quiz night?
Oh, quiz night. A lot of people expressed an interest in the Queer Art History Trivia Night that we will be co-hosting.
Yay!
It's going to be at Royal Nonsuch Gallery at 6:30 on Wednesday, July 6th.
So, and you're doing this as part of?
I'm doing a little residency over there at Royal Nonsuch, right? This summer, they're Royal Production Company, and they're hosting 4 different video artists. Right now, Carolyn Jansen is there. She's so nice.
Cool.
I love her.
I love her, too. And I love nice people. I just want more people to be
nice. And really funny and fun. Okay, event coming out here at Counterpulse.
Oh, yeah, great. Love that place.
Simone Otterloney, Antonia Livingstone, and Han Rowe.
No one I've ever heard of. Great.
Will be in Supernatural from June 10th to 11th. That's Friday and Saturday. It's going to be at 8
right
p.m. at Counterpulse. This came highly recommended by friend of the show, Margaret Tedesco.
Hey, Margie, when you going? Margie. God. Sorry, Margaret. Margaret, let us know when you're going.
Anyhow, and then also good news, on June 13th at Modern Time Bookstore, Modern Times Bookstore, there's going to be all the people from that visual activism symposium that happened 2 summers ago. It was like part of SF MoMA on the go.
It happened at the Bravo
Dominic
Theater.
Dominic Wilson was one of the
organizers. A book just came out.
They
exactly.
just had a thing. So they're super having a thing at Modern Times Bookstore with some of the people that organized it and probably some of the presenters. And they're inviting people to come and hang out and probably have discussions and buy their journal thing.
Cool.
I think Jennifer Gonzalez and Julia Bryan Wilson are going to be there.
Let's go.
I have a dinner that night,
I'll go.
Sadly. Go.
I'm going to go.
Will you memorize everything that happens?
Yes, I'll take notes. Actually, I'll bring the recorder with me and just record the whole damn thing.
Oh, my God. So go check that out. And when's Bay Area Now 8 coming? Next year, huh?
Nah.
Yeah.
Was it just, what, didn't it just happen last year?
No, like 2 years ago.
Okay, next year. Why? You getting a...
No, I just am interested to see what they're going to do, because the last one, they're not going to do the same thing, right? Because that was pretty bad.
No, they're not going to do it that again. Was that...
They're going to just gloss right over it. They're going to gloss right over that.
They're
going to
pretend like they never did that.
But there were parts of that I really liked.
I'm feeling Yerba Buena right now. I'm going to just put that out there.
Right on.
I feel really, they turned their museum into a polling place today, or on Wednesday, on Tuesday when voting day.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's fucking awesome that like a huge institution like that is just gonna be like, we're serious about this.
Hell yeah.
I think that's really good.
Right on. We got some listener feedback from Meg Schiffler from episode a couple episodes ago. So you'll get some context as I read it. Okay, I will read it to you now.
Good. Do it.
In reference to your last podcast about people not knowing if they can touch the art or not, I thought I'd share a recent brief conversation, albeit slightly tangential, but on the topic of communicating with people outside of the arts community. I was at a really fun barbecue this weekend, hosted by close friends. They had invited a lot of interesting, friendly, fun people that my partner Steve and I didn't know. At one point in our conversation, the husband of this lovely, lovely, loverly...
Did she really say that?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
With 5 U's. Couple was talking about his kids, who are 5 and 7, and what they might do when they grow up. He said, I always tell them that they need to do something they are passionate about and that they're good at and that will make them money, implying lots of money. If it's just the first two, it's a hobby.
Whoa.
I said, so if one of your kids wants to be an artist or an actor, that wouldn't be okay? The host jumped in and gracefully steered the interaction in another direction.
Oh, really?
I know, right?
That's kind of extreme.
It was a lighthearted conversation, and I was at risk of being that guest that bums out the event by getting too intense, so I let it go. That night I was awake and stewing about possible responses that would have made any impact at all, and I don't think there was a response that wouldn't be disrespectful or too challenging, but I came up with a truckload of completely inappropriate doozies.
I love it.
I've lived my entire life believing that the Matrix... for professional fulfillment, what some people may call success, is not wrapped up in an equation that has to include making lots of money. I'm lucky to have parents who support my desires regardless of the prospect of financial gain. They raised me to be strong and understand that I need to take care of myself emotionally, physically, and financially, so I've paid the bills and followed my heart. There are so many other ways to finish the thought that starts with kids. Be sure to do something that you're passionate about, that you're not necessarily the best at, but you could be, but challenges and interests you, and then this is a bulleted list, that makes a positive impact on humanity at large or makes a difference in the lives of specific individuals or communities, that makes a positive impact on the environment, global or local, that moves culture forward, that embraces empathy and kindness, that allows you to be the best person you can be because we've all had those jobs that bring out the worst in us. Find a situation where you are valued and respected. Find a situation where you have room to grow. Find a situation where you feel that you are contributing something unique because it comes from you. I could go on and on, but I just thought I would let you know how your last podcast intersected with some thoughts I was having. What a very nice, thoughtful listener feedback.
That was great.
That was lovely.
I do have to say, though, while I agree completely with what Meg is saying, in what's happening in the Bay Area, it's hard. It's hard for me at this point to still be working in nonprofits and not getting paid well enough where I could own my own home or feel protected if I were to get evicted, or safe if I were to get evicted.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so it's sort of like, it's super idealistic, and I've always not worried so much about how much I get paid. Like, it's never been a priority for me, as long as I can like pay the rent and stuff.
Right.
But now when there's so much threat
and precarity, yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of, I now have become so focused on how much I get paid that it's become a little bit inhibiting. Yeah. Or not inhibiting, but just sort of like it's gotten in the way of my like idealism to some degree, which is annoying to me.
And I think what I got out of it was like, in thinking like that is agreeing, like that is such awesome sentiment, especially the idea of saying that to like a kid.
Yeah.
And so like maybe it's kind of our responsibility that like future generations like have the ability to take those risks without having to put their whole fucking life on the line.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's hopeful. We have a lot of work to do if we want that to be an option for everybody.
Yeah. And I actually think what we can do, or what I feel like I can do in my job as a nonprofit arts administrator, is try to help impact the way these institutions think about their employees and how they value their employees. Like, I think that if we can change the culture of how nonprofits work to some degree, you know, instead of like working off of like a scarcity model and actually recognizing the resources you have
and working with an abundance model,
kind of. I mean, if there's an abundance, like actually acknowledging it and passing it down to your employees, then maybe that,
and the artists,
and definitely the artists
and the contractors.
Everyone.
Yay.
Totally everyone. I agree with you. But then maybe these like nonprofit places will actually be more attractive and actually sustainable for younger
people.
And
then we can do good in this world.
And then we can continue doing good in this world. Yes, I agree. That's like the ideal. That's like my big pie in the sky.
At Real Time and Space, the studio co-op where my studio is, has a new residency that's being sponsored by Small Press Traffic.
You just want to go ahead and look it
up. Anyhow, I'll have a link to it in the underworld. And we have this freight elevator where writers usually have studio space because it's tiny. And they're running a residency there now.
Is that stipend. Safe? Wait, is that safe? I mean, freight elevators.
Yeah, it's
that building
at the bottom. It's as far down as it can go.
It's not going to go up.
So it's not going to go up.
It's not going up or down.
It's still whispering pine.
Is it dark and dingy?
It's clean. There's a skylight.
There's a skylight.
There's a window.
Okay.
It's small.
I like freight elevators.
It's a good place to think. You're a writer. Shit. Put your little typewriter in there. Have your bottle of brandy or whatever you do. I don't know what writers do.
Your pipe out.
Point is, you get a little space to write and you get a stipend.
I like the idea of writing something substantial.
Cool. I don't.
Who knows?
I don't like writing.
But it could be anything.
Sounds like
you write
hassle.
All the fucking time with your comics.
Yeah, but that's different.
No.
Yeah, it's no. Dialogue. Dialogue's different than having to be like, the sun came up over the misty dunes. The whispering on the windy moor. You know what I mean?
Yes, keep
yeah,
going.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Give us another line.
No, thank you.
One more.
Although I
Come
did
on,
write a couple
more.
Press releases recently that I'm pretty proud of.
Boring.
I think the key to a good press release is a lot of alliteration.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I don't know if I agree.
I bet you feel freaking fantastic. So anyhow, Maysoon, anything else you want the listeners to know?
Listeners, we love you.
Fair enough. And from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between.
This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.